Nearly one in every three people living in Australia reside in New South Wales. It's Australia's powerhouse state, really, in terms of GDP generated, electricity usage and jobs created. Needless to say, the job of the New South Wales Premier then is a huge one, and Gladys Berejiklian has just become the sixth person to fill that role in the last decade. She's taken the job with a little over 2 years till an election and a surplus of almost $4 billion in the bank. But she faces some challenges too, a political environment which already finds her coalition partner, the Nationals, vulnerable to the rise of one nation, a housing affordability crisis, and a federal government which hasn't been so receptive to recommendations made by some state governments. Gladys Berejiklian joins us now. Premier, good morning and congratulations.
Thank you so much, Fran. Really excited to be here.
You're a socially progressive Premier in a party moving to the right. You've got a coalition partner looking for a new agreement. You've already spoken about the Trump effect in politics at the moment. Are we seeing that effect writ large within your government coalition at the moment?
Frank, can I say I've been so overwhelmed by the support I've received from my colleagues right across the board. And I'm someone who believes it's actually healthy to have different viewpoints and to debate them. That's what good decision making is in public life. You can't expect everybody who comes to public office or anybody in the community for that matter to have the same view of the world. And I've always been really proud of the views I've had and I've never changed them. And I wouldn't expect any of my colleagues to do it any differently. So I'm really, really overwhelmed by the support I've received. To have made the transition to the new leadership as seamlessly as we have has, in my view, really set us up for strong and stable government. And that's what the largest state in Australia deserves, strong and stable government.
Just exactly. Back to the issue of the Trump effect, though. Is it a challenging time for a socially progressive Premier?
I think it's a challenging time, not so much for socially progressive or otherwise, but for everybody, because what the community is telling us, not just in New South Wales, but around Australia and globally, is they want to be heard in between elections, not just at elections. I think the world is changing. People are feeling more empowered and involved because of the way we communicate. And they're wanting to express their view, not just when politicians door knock or there's an election around the corner, but in between elections. And I hear that.
And how are you going to hear them then? What are you going to do to make sure you are hearing those voices, not just on election campaign trail?
Well, I've always been a very grassroots person in terms of the community. And so I've said to all of my colleagues, not that they don't now, but it's really, you know, more important than ever for us to be out there on the ground day in, day out. And also to make sure that we get views and speak to people ahead of making big policy decisions. Now, I want to be very clear. I'm someone who's very decisive. And once I make up my mind, obviously we move forward. But I think before you get to that point, you do need to consult and you do need to make sure that the overwhelming majority of the community are in support of what you're about to embark on.
Okay, well, you've made up your mind about housing affordability. There's a crisis in your state. It's an issue you want to deal with as a priority.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say it's a crisis yet. But
well, let me put it in this sense. This week, Sydney was declared the second most expensive city in the world after Hong Kong. And I think if you're a young first home buyer, it feels like a crisis at the moment. It feels like things are getting worse, not better. And I wonder what you thought of the comments from the National Party leader, the federal leader, Barnaby Joyce, last night on RN Drive with Patricia Karvelas. He seemed pretty dismissive of the pressure on house prices, particularly on young Sydneysiders trying to get into the market. Let's have a listen.
I get annoyed when people talk about that the only house, apparently, that you can buy is in Sydney and it's too dear. There are other parts of Australia. I live in one. It's called Tamworth.
Yeah, people move to where the jobs are, though.
There are jobs here.
National Party leader and Deputy Prime Minister Barnaby Joyce on RN Drive last night. Is it that simple, just move out of Sydney and buy a house?
No, of course not. A good society gives people choices. So what I articulated as one of my top three priorities is housing affordability was that the average person who works in Sydney, if they want to buy a home in Sydney, it shouldn't be out of reach for them. So it's all about making sure people have the choices and live freely to have the best life possible. So that's what we're about. That's what I'm about. And that's why I put forward housing affordability as one of my three priorities. And Fran, every generation has major challenges in that regard. I remember when I left uni, interest rates were 17.5%.
Yeah, sure. I remember that too.
And I thought I'd never get a job because it was during the recession we had to have. So I thought I'd never work, never own a place, never be able to pay back my mortgage. Now, I'm not taking away from how young people or people struggling to get into the market feel today, not for a second. But I do say that we've already done a lot. There's much more to do. And that's why I've put it up there as one of my big challenges.
Okay. You say you've done a lot. There's plenty more to do. I think a lot of people would agree with you. Just given that comment from Barnaby Joyce, is the federal government helping enough or is it hindering crisis by refusing to consider rolling back tax breaks like negative gearing?
I know for a fact that housing affordability is top of mind for the Prime Minister. And I'm looking forward to working with the federal government where appropriate because we're a government here in New South Wales. It's about making sure our residents have every opportunity to get good outcomes. And if that means working with the Commonwealth Government, well, so be it. We're more than happy to do that.
And how are you going to do it? Last November, your colleague, the Planning Minister at the time, Rob Stokes, demanded the federal government look at addressing negative gearing as a strategy for getting house prices under control. He was told by the federal finance minister at that time, basically stick to his knitting. Do you agree with Rob Stokes? Negative gearing should be part of the federal government's armoury here?
Oh, Fran, I'll say from the outset that my principal focus initially will be to see what can we do as a state government.
Sure, but presumably you're going to be talking to the federal government about how they can help. What's your view on negative gearing?
I don't feel at this stage that is something that I would necessarily touch in relation to housing affordability.
Why not?
I think the first and biggest challenge in Sydney and New South Wales with housing affordability is still supply. We just don't have enough new homes coming onto the market quickly enough to meet demand. And my first place was a unit. It was not very exciting, but it was three flights of stairs up, but it was my foot into the market. And so I'm really keen, because we've done approvals for new dwellings in terms of unit blocks, and they'll be coming onto the market in the next little while. So I'm hoping that will put more downward pressure on prices.
It hasn't so far, though. I mean, the numbers are phenomenal. 1,300 new dwellings a week being built in New South Wales at the moment. So it's going at a pretty cracking pace. And yet nobody I've spoken to who's out in that market says that it's made any difference. Apartments aren't getting cheaper. They're going up.
I put it this way. I put this to you. Imagine if we hadn't dealt with that approval process.
Because
I've actually seen modelling, and obviously I'll be communicating with the community about all these issues in due course. But if we hadn't acted so quickly when we came to government 5 years ago to do what we'd done, the situation would have even been worse. I'm not taking away from how serious it is now, but there's no doubt action we've taken has actually taken the edge of what it could have been. Yeah.
And can I just talk, for all those people who are never going to be able to afford a house and are renting, and housing affordability covers those too, I asked for questions.
Yeah.
I got a few about rent from renters. Nadine said, I work 46 and a half hours a week and get $810. My weekly rent for a tiny one-bedroom unit under a house, basically a shoddy adapted garage. That's almost half my earnings. Sorry, $810 a week is what she pays. Admittedly, it's in the Northern Beaches, but the only full-time I work could get there in that area.
Yeah.
What do you say to someone like Nadine? The rents in and around Sydney are astronomical.
Well, we say to Nadine that we're the first government in New South Wales that actually has invested in what we call social and affordable housing, and we're looking really closely at what options we have to make people who've got essential jobs be able to afford to live near where their jobs are. So we're actually very active in that regard. So we appreciate, especially for people, I mean, in my community, I have bus drivers in my local bus depot who travel from the Central Coast to get to my local community on the Lower North Shore to drive a bus. So I'm very cognizant of the fact of what it means for essential workers how long they have to travel just to do their job because of affordability. So that's definitely top of mind for us.
It's 7:45 on Breakfast. Our guest is the brand new New South Wales Premier, Gladys Berejiklian. To move away from house prices for a moment, can I ask you about coal seam gas? Because we were speaking with the Federal Energy Minister, Josh Frydenberg, yesterday, and he said that he thinks gas and coal are the bedrock fuels for our country, and he thinks CSG is the best way to address the domestic gas shortage and high prices. Yet in regional New South Wales, your coalition has been severely punished politically for supporting CSG. Do you back the expansion of coal seam gas in New South Wales?
Oh, look, I think the community's made their views on that very clear. And you asked me a few questions ago about listening to the community about the impact of people wanting to be more involved in public decision making. Well, you know, I think the community has spoken loud and clearly about that. They're not comfortable with expansion of that without various safeguards and without security of their land and water supply. So, you know, the community has made their views very clear on that. And as a government, I think we have an obligation to listen. But we also have an obligation to make sure that we have affordable energy sources for our state. And that's a national issue. And that is, you know, one of the three priorities for me was a strong economy. A strong economy means making sure you have cost of living pressures under control. And certainly we need to have a very strong response to how we source our energy, which is in line with community thinking on sources of that energy.
Okay, so how does coal fit into that? The expansion of coal mining in general in recent years in areas like the Hunter has cost your government some political capital, especially in agricultural and rural areas. Are you a big backer of coal mining?
I will support industry where appropriate. I mean, I don't think you can make blanket suggestions like that any other way. Of course, you need some sources of coal, but at the same time, you have to take into consideration community views on the issue, and that's exactly what we've done as a government. What we're doing, we actually inherited a huge challenge. All the CSG licences that have been problematic, we inherited from the previous Labor government. They weren't licences we issued, and we've dealt with that as best we can. And I feel that we've also really listened to the community.
News today is that mining giant Rio Tinto has announced it will sell its Hunter Valley business, Coal and Allied, for $3.2 billion to a Chinese-owned company. Are you happy for the Chinese to own the state's major coal mines? Are you relaxed about that?
Well, foreign ownership is a federal issue. And can I say I've worked on that issue as in foreign ownership closely with the federal government in relation to some of the transactions I did when I was treasurer. But foreign ownership is a matter for the federal government, and I'll completely leave that to them to determine the rules around those issues.
And can I just ask you finally about ICAC? Mike Baird's proposed overhaul of the ICAC was widely criticised in November, including by former Assistant Commissioner Anthony Wheely, who said it risked the perception of corruption. Do you support a strong ICAC?
Of course I support a strong ICAC, and I believe what Mike Baird put in place reinforces the strength of the ICAC.
Gladys Berejiklian, thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks very much, Fran. Have a good day.
Look forward to speaking to you over the rest of your term. Gladys Berejiklian is the new New South Wales Premier. It's 13 minutes to 8 on Breakfast.